How many of you have a will, some sort of a will? How many of you have a revocable living trust? It's kind of a different item. Those of you who are, you know, you're not quite there age-wise, but if you've got a spouse, if you've got children, if you've got any kind of financial responsibilities, it's an important thing to do it. And back in 1994, Marilyn and I made out a, along with a number of people from our church, we had a wills seminar, a trust seminar, and so we did that here at Calvary. And then the people who, the attorney who brought the seminar, of course, also helped people write their living trusts. So we've had ours since 1994, which in 2019, it is unbelievably out of date. So we went down and we spent some time with our attorney, and he said a number of really really interesting things, and along with them, and we're doing this ultimately, you know, for our kids. You know, when we're gone, you know, hey, we're gone. We're not going to be worrying about anything, right? And we're not going to be working on anything when we're gone. But so we thought, well, we'll do this for our kids. So Lloyd Copenberger, who did this for us, and he's happy to serve our church in any way. And he'd do a good job. He began his career with Campus Crusade for Christ on staff there. But Lloyd said, you know, there's more than just money and there's more than just houses. What we really like to talk to people about is their legacy, what they leave behind for the people that come up behind them. So I had an interesting night that night. Just, you can imagine probably what I took to bed. I took to bed with me, I'm thinking about my kids, and I'm thinking about our situation. And I woke up thinking, on my son's birthday, I really love my kids. I told my wife, you know, I think I'm no different than anybody else. I think that my last breath my thoughts will be about my kids. Just concern for them, not for their houses, their lands, their bank accounts, the cars that they drive. My concern will only be for their real well-being. Amen? Amen. I'm no different than you. And so it's just a great thing. It is a wonderful thing to stop and think about these people that are that will come up behind us. So last Monday was my mom's birthday, and I got thinking ahead of time. I remember Mom. Mom's been gone since 1988. She died at 67. And I love my mom, and I've got ringing in the back of my head my mom's familiar chorus. It was probably the same chorus you heard your mom sing. Don't tell me you love me. Show it, right? Didn't your mom say something like that? Don't tell me you love me. Show it by how you act. For me, it was, don't tell me you love me. Be kind to your sisters. And she said the same thing to each one of them. And we're grown adults. We are really grown, and we are still hearing those words. Huh. You know, God is the same way. He tells us to love him. This is the first and greatest commandment. You know it, don't you? Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might or your strength. Love God with all your heart. Oh, okay. That, maybe your heart was beating for the Lord today. And maybe your soul, your along the way, the decisions you've been making, and with all your strength, the things that you do, the things that we do in response to him. He says, do this. Love me by being obedient to me. Don't tell me you love me in church on Sunday and you raise your hands or you don't raise your hands because you're just kind of to yourself. That's fine. I'm kind of stuck in between on those things. I only raise my hands sometimes a little bit about this high. I don't want my hands to get in the way of somebody else. But don't just raise your hands. Don't just get goosebumps. Don't just think a little bit about the Lord when you sing. Jesus made it very clear. God makes it very, very, very clear. If you love me, do what I say. If you love me, don't say you love me if you don't do what I say. Amen? I guess God didn't say amen, but I thought I'd try it out. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. The Bible in the rack in front of you, I'm sorry, I can't recall the page. Page 10-something. 1069, page 1069. But this morning, I'm going to throw you a curve. I'm going to read from John chapter 15 from the New American Standard Bible. John 15, verses 1 through 11 this morning. John 16, verses 1 to 11 from the New American Standard. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Now you are already clean. Jesus said this. You're already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. That's been trimming you as a branch. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, stays connected to the vine, so neither can you bear fruit. Your life won't really matter unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire because they're not good for making furniture. They're not good for anything but just a bonfire. And they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, they're part of your life. My words are part of your life in thought, in meditation, in decisions. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you, God is glorified. This is what he is after, that you bear much fruit. And so prove yourselves to be my followers, my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. Not that you'd be under this heavy burden. I've spoken these words to you, that my joy, my very joy would be in you. And that your joy may be made full. One more time, verses 9 through 11. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands or commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Father, teach us. Teach me. Even as I speak, teach us. May your Holy Spirit just put the finger on things in my life and in ours that just really needs to conform more and more to these words that Jesus spoke. Thanks, Father, for bringing us together to listen to you, to listen to the words of your the Holy Spirit speaking your word to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, as I've said over and over again, God is not interested in you or me becoming more and more religious. He's not interested in that. He's interested in us having a greater and greater and greater relationship with him. A real relationship that keeps getting better all the time. It's an amazing thing he calls us to. I've mentioned this before. Marilyn and I this summer will celebrate our 50th. And I know that that's nothing compared to some of you that have got, like, how many, Martha? 65 years. Yeah, wow. See? That's, you know, that's powerful. And that means a lot to us. It really does. But I know, for Marilyn and me, for almost 50 years now, you know, our love relationship is matured and it has become better and better and better. And I know, you know, just that Ken and Martha have discovered absolutely new horizons of love for each other, right? New horizons. It just, are you more romantic? I don't know. I remember saying to these girls in my youth group, I said, I don't know if it, you know, they said, does it get more romantic all the time? I said, not really. Come on. It gets better. It just keeps getting better because you discover the joy of sacrifice, the joy of conforming our wills and our desires to each other's interests. And it's a better and better thing. And see, what God invites us to is a relationship with him that begins now, but it goes on and on and on for all eternity. And Jesus, as he spoke to his disciples that night, just before one of his own would betray him and the rest would all run away, he wanted them and he wants us to experience the dynamic and true relationship with him that would be attended to not by warm fuzzies, but would be attended to by obedience to him, by us conforming our lives to him and his will and his desires and his intentions for the world and for us as individuals. Do you believe that? He just wants to draw us into this relationship where as we continue to grow, we become more and more convinced of who he is and what he wants for us. Years ago, someone gave us a plaque. It was for many years hanging up in our house, and it was done with a wood-burning tool. And these words came from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. You can just write down the reference. Don't look it up. I don't want to confuse you with the text I'm going to read right now, because this is the one of the older versions of the Living Bible. But listen to these words. They became more and more embedded upon my soul. Paul expresses the same kind of love that Jesus is talking about here in John chapter 15. why should it surprise us? This is the same God. This is, he's just, he's now talking about that love through the Apostle Paul as he writes from prison to people in the city of Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. This is what he says. He says, when I think of the wisdom and the scope of God's plan, his plan, I fall down on my knees and I pray to the Father of the great family of God, some of them already in heaven and some down here on earth, that out of his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you the mighty strengthening of his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living in you, at home in your hearts, living in you as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you be able to understand, as your roots go down deep into the soil of his marvelous love and understand that love, may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long and how wide, how deep and how high this his love really is, and to experience his love for yourself, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it or fully understand it. And so at last, you will be filled up with God himself. The first point in our message is, my message this morning, as we look at verse 9, it says, just as the Father has loved me. And I want you to, as you just take notes today, just fill in the little blank that you see in your notes. Ponder the Father's love for the Son. Don't sit here right now and think, yada, 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 Father loves the Son. Father loves the Son, just like John loves his sons. John loves his daughter. Yeah, Father loves the Son. Of course, Father loves the Son. Ponder what that love looks like. That love, and what did Jesus say? As he took on flesh, he's talking about what was, he's not even talking about what was in eternity past and what will be in eternity in the future. He's talking about, while I have been right here, when I poured myself out of heaven and I took on flesh, and here I am in the flesh. Growing up in the, reading the scriptures and memorizing the scriptures and singing the scriptures, as I've been growing in wisdom and in strength and in favor with God and man, with God, growing in that favor, as I've been growing up in my humility before the Father, well, the Father loves me. He loves the Son. Ponder, think about the Father's love for the Son. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 17, Matthew 3:17. Just write the references down. Just these references. This was at the baptism of Jesus. He had just been baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. And he comes up out of the water and a dove comes out of heaven. And there's a voice from heaven. And these are the words. This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Father loves the Son. And his Son is taking step after step after step of obedience. When he went down to the when he went down to the water, John the Baptist, his cousin, said, I've got no business baptizing you. I don't. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, this has to be done. His baptism was a statement that he was all in with what the Father had for him. All in. And he was so all in that he was identifying himself with all of these other people who were saying, we're all in. with God's desires for us. Was this an act of humility? I've had people tell me, I don't want to be baptized. I don't want to have people see me come up out of the water and I'm all wet. You know, my hair is all, that was my big objection. My hair would be all, you know, all stringy and hanging down on my face, and my makeup would have been running. And no, listen, being baptized was just an act of humility. This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 35. Just write the reference down. This is a little bit of a testimony in John chapter 3. After Jesus had said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life," he goes on talking about why he came. And then that part of Jesus' dialogue stops. And then we hear people going to John the Baptist and saying, what about this cousin of yours, Jesus? And he seems to be getting a whole lot of attention. And in John 3, verse 35, this is John the Baptist's testimony about his cousin. He said, "The Father loves the Son. The Father loves the Son and has given him all things into his hands." The Father loves the Son and he keeps giving him. The Father keeps giving him everything that he has for him in the flesh that he's taken on. The Father, John says, this testimony, the Father loves the Son and he's put all these things into his hands. At the very end of his time, before he's about ready to ascend into heaven, Jesus goes back to that. When he says in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, he says, "All things have been given to me. All things have been given to me." And now, and he says, all authority has been given to me. And so I'm passing this on to you now. I'm the boss, and I can tell you this has been given to me from God, from the Father. Go and make disciples. Wherever you are, make disciples. Wherever you are, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to what? Teach them to do everything I told you about. Everything I commanded you, teach them to do it. Some more scripture. Write down John 5, verses 19 through 20. John 5, verses 19 through 20. Jesus says in John chapter 5, "For the Father loves this Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and greater things, greater works than these, he will show him, that you may marvel." Wow, I love this text. In John chapter 5, Jesus has just finished healing a blind man on the Sabbath day. And he has really ticked off the most righteous people in town. Because he healed this guy. Why? Because he healed him on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. And they are guardians of the Sabbath. They will keep the Sabbath day holy, holy, holy. And Jesus is now working on the Sabbath. Who does he think he is? And Jesus said, so that everybody would get the picture, "My Father is always at work." He's always at work. Right now, in this worship service, he's at work. I don't know what he's doing. You may have your eyes propped open with toothpicks. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in your heart right now, whether you're happy with me or you're ticked off at me. I don't know. I've talked about money. I've talked about work. I've talked about all this stuff. Maybe I don't know what God is doing. But God is always at work. He's at work out on the street. He's at work in the alleyways in Whittier. He's at work in the remotest part of the earth to us. He's at work. And it's in that same context that Jesus said, see, the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he's doing. I've got the gaze of my soul on my Father here in this humble state that I'm in right now in the flesh. I've got the gaze of my soul on him, and whatever I see him doing, that's what I do. I see him loving this man that was blind. On the Sabbath, I see him actually loving this man that is blind. And I could have told that guy, come back tomorrow and I'll heal you. I know what God is already doing right now. Maybe he'll just do it without me laying my hands on you. Or no, he just said, be healed. Here's your sight back. I see him doing it, and I do what he says, Now, we're in John chapter 15. Turn a page or so to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Listen, I want us to observe and understand this, and I'm dwelling on this for a reason, and that is we need to understand how much the Father loves the Son, and that this is a relationship that is actually a two-way relationship. Just as love relationships inside of our families is a two-way relationship. These things Jesus spoke, verses 1 and 2, these things Jesus spoke, lifting up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee, even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. We have this relationship, and the Father has given me all this authority. He's given me this relationship to these men that are surrounding me. He's given us the relationship that we have to each other as his kids. Dennis, we're not to that point yet, but that's okay. Don't take it off. John chapter 17, verses 25 and 26. This relationship. O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I have known thee. And these have known that thou didst send me. And I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known. Why? That the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. I'm really concerned, Father, that they know that you love me. And that this relationship, while it's been going on for all eternity, it has been now in this very humble state of mine as you've watched me grow up. The Father has throughout all eternity loved him, but here Jesus is speaking about his love in his humble flesh. There's no doubt about the love that the Father has for the Son. So the second issue that we're dealing with is grasp the Son's love for the Father. We need to understand this love that the Father has and meditate on this love that the Father has for the Son. We need to also grasp the Son's love for the Father. As the Son's love for the Father, as it was evidenced in his unwavering obedience to the Father's will. Matthew chapter 26, just write these references down. Matthew 26, verse 39. My Father, if it is possible for this cup to pass from me, and yet not my will, but yours be done. That was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's will in eternity past and throughout all timeless eternity. That was the will of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But now in the humility of his flesh, as he's facing the cross and facing bearing our sin and that sin being judged in him, He says, Father, if there's any way for this cup to pass from me, that's the way I would, no, not my will, but yours be done. John 4:34. To his disciples, he was speaking upon their return from a Samaritan city. They returned with lunch, and he'd been talking to the Samaritan woman who had lived a really, really unhappy life with six husbands, and the seventh that she was living with was not her husband. And they had a dialogue between the two of them, and as she saw them coming, she went back into town to get people to come out and hear him. And the disciples said, Jesus, can we give you some lunch? And he said, I'm not hungry. He says, my food, chapter 4, verse 34, is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. John 5:30. We were in John 5 before, but verse 30. I do not seek my own, but the will of him who sent me. That's why I'm here. I wonder if that would be said of me. Once in a while, that would probably be what I would say. I know you think your pastor should say that all the time, moment by moment, but Jesus said this, and these words are just emblazoned across time. I came to do his will, not my will, the will of him who sent me. John 6, verse 38, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You have it clear in your mind? He came down. He poured himself out of heaven to do his will. John 8, verses 28 through 29. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, the Messiah. And I do nothing on my own initiative. But I speak these things as the Father taught me in my flesh. Grasp, folks, this humility. I speak the things that my Father in my flesh has taught me. And he who sent me is with me and has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. John 17, verse 4. We were in John 17. John 17, verse 4. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And finally, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. I'm not going to read them all, but Paul says this, as he's told people to start thinking about somebody else rather than themselves. Look at other people's interests as more important than your own. Think of what he said about Jesus. Paul captured this. He said, have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he was existing in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, he humbled himself, and he took on flesh, and he became obedient, even to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and has given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so Jesus says in John chapter 15, once again, verses 9 and 10, just as I have loved the Father, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide. Remain, continue in that love, continue in it. If you keep my commandments, you will continue in that love. If you keep my commandments, you will find your address in that relationship with me. You'll continue in that love, just as I've kept the commandments that the Father gave me, and abide or continue in his love. Abide in the Son's love in the very same way the Son made his home on earth by complete obedience to his heavenly Father. Please write this down once again. Please, think about this. Abide in the Son's love. You've got that far in your notes. In the very same way, in the very same way, the Son made his home on earth by complete obedience to his heavenly Father. One more time, please. Write it down. You'll forget it. Abide in the Son's love. In the very same way, the Son made his home on earth by complete obedience to his heavenly Father. In other words, he's saying to us, do what I've taught you. Do what I've taught you, and you will be finding your address in a relationship with me. Here's some of the things he taught. If you're taking notes, you're on the last point. If you're taking notes, just write some things down. What did Jesus teach his disciples? He told them, follow me. When we follow him, when we follow him day after day after day after day, in a fresh relationship of listening and speaking to him, asking for his strengthening, asking for his will to be done in our lives, he says, follow me. As we do that, we're being obedient to him. As we forgive the way he forgives, we're being obedient to him. When we put our hands on our hips and say, I don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive, I didn't like what you said, you stepped on my toes, you've hurt me over and over again, you're crude, you're rude, I don't like you. You've hurt me one too many times. I got in on a text sent yesterday, and I just went, oh my goodness, I thought there was some progress. And this group text, somebody was included that was not intended to be included. And something was said that was terribly, terribly hurtful. And Jesus says to this Christian and that Christian and every single one of us, forgive. Count it paid in full like I do. Forgive like I forgive. He said, love one another the way I love. He said, remember me. And we're going to remember him today. Not with a religious action. We're going to remember him with our hands and with our lips and with our minds. And in front of each other, because this is what we share in common. He says, treat people the way you want to be treated. You start learning that, and you start either obeying it or disobeying it from the time you're a little kid. I'm a little kid. My mom said to all of us, you know, don't say nothing at all if you can't say something nice, right? Be kind and compassionate. Be a witness. Be generous. Be generous. Over and above, be generous. Just a smattering. What are the things that come to your mind? And how are we listening? How are you listening to what Jesus said? He told his disciples, go make disciples, teaching them to do everything I commanded you. On your notes, folks, every single one of the questions, I'm not editing, they're all good. Okay? Enjoy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for calling us together to worship you. I don't know, Lord, how anybody else hears the things that are spoken. But I thank you for you speaking to me today, yesterday, and for years. Even when you probably would say of me, in a well-deserved way, I don't know if he'll ever learn. Thank you, Father, for calling us to worship you together. And we continue in that. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would drive the point home to everyone here. And you know what each of us needs. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.